from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster who wishes he could combine the terms support and bore together. Subore. But it sounds like something the Supreme Court would say, like you're suborning. And I'd say, oh no, that sounds very, bore port. That sounds like a part of a ship. You see, I don't even know my port from my starboard or my, you know, ear from my rear. So I don't know how I know where the bore port is. Oh, that's the sleeping cabin. Well, great, because it's a funny thing. It's time for Sleep With Me, a podcast to put you to sleep. And if you're a regular listener, if you could listen through the credits, and then when your hand hits the fridge tomorrow, remember, sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. That's how we keep the podcast free for everybody. All right, but this is Scoots here. This is where I ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. With just a few questions. If you're new to this show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show, not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead and start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking, If the answer to those questions are yes, yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show if it was missing from my life. I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now if the answer is yes to those questions. So we don't have to go through, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right, everybody, it's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone. This is a part of the show I need you to hear because really we're celebrating the people that enable us to bring the show to you for free. I'd love it if you became one of those people. I'd love to hear from you. But tonight we're talking about our sponsor, Wix. And if you started your Wix site, I do want to know about it. You got to share it with me. Jonathan shared his site, My Peculiar POV. He got it started on Wix. He went to wix.com/sleep20. You get 20% off your Wix premium plan there. And you get a big thank you from me. Supporting the show, letting me know about it, keeping it free for everybody. Thanks, Jonathan, and thanks, Wix. And start your Wix site, let me know about it. It's wix.com/sleep20. Thanks, everybody. Sleeper Supporter Zone over. Mystery Bard, who helps out in this show?
Chris Posty Posterson.
Sounds like a near fall.
Wrote the theme song.
And edits episodes too.
Carl W. the Legend.
Also edits episodes.
Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer.
Runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website.
I am the Mystery Bard.
I do the lullabies, yeah.
I do commissions at
JonathanMann.net.
Could be for Mother's Day.
It's coming up soon.
Father's Day
is coming up too. Ooh.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own faces. support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com. And we're so proud that we could dance to be part of Nine Veil Presents. So now on with the show.
Thanks, Mr. Bard. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. Those are good places to get me. Remember, you can listen to Sleep With Me in your smart speaker. If you have an FART smart speaker, then that's probably for something. I bet you the smart speaker can do that, but you could just say, hey, smart speaker. All joking aside, can you make an FART noise? Also, play Sleep With Me podcast. Then you can set a sleep timer and forget about all that other stuff I just said, because I was just pandering to the kids listening who could spell and smell. You're right. Boom. All right, everybody. What do you say we get on with the show already, right? Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing? Trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever is keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, feelings, physical sensations, changes in time or temperature, changes in your routine, maybe you're traveling, whatever's keeping you awake. I'd like to take your mind off of that, create a safe place to do so, or, you know, level of trust where you let me do so. And then what I'll do is I'll send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'll use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders, superfluous tangents, extra words, misplaced words, concerns of mine that then I try to make more sleepy and dreamy. Because I was thinking about travel, and then I said, oh, well, I had something I was thinking about. And all the whole idea is the podcast is here to keep you company while you drift off. Now, if you're new, here's a couple of things. I'm glad you're here. How you doing? Come on. You don't have to come on in. You could. This is the kind of place in podcasts where, because I really don't like that. I don't know why. I did it because I said I want you to feel welcome. But I also want you to, is this a paradox? I want you to feel so welcome, you could feel unwelcome. You know what I'm saying? Like where you say, because I don't like it when I'm standing somewhere looking in at a distance, and that's my, I say, well, this is my safe place outside your store, looking in, seeing what you're up to and seeing what your angles are and, you know, trying to check if there's any funny business, so then when you say, hey, you see you looking in the store, come on in. Air's just fine in here. I say, well, I'll be the judge of that. Thank you. Your friendly tone is doing nothing to earn my trust. And then sometimes the people won't get it, and they'll say, you get a lot better view from up close. And I say, I don't care if they call this Main Street USA. It doesn't make me feel, it just like, it doesn't clarify my, it's going to take me a while. In this podcast, I say, you want to stay outside? Go right ahead. Ideally that you could hear it wherever you are. I would say the air's just fine where you are, wherever you are. You want to come in? Come on in. You want to get a little bit closer? And then you say, well, I prefer to bat. You know, I say, let me just, you could look at me through opera glasses or a microscope or, and I don't know if you, I wonder what you'd see if you used an oscilloscope or whatever that thing is. You'd say, holy, I didn't even know this thing could pick up creaky dulcet tones. But you're off the charts on the creaky dulcet tones and pointless meanders. And I'd say, excellent. So if what was I saying? If you're new, I'm glad you're here. But if you don't buy that, that's great too. Like, seriously, if you're skeptical about this podcast, I totally understand. Just wait till I try to explain to you what it is if you think you're skeptical now. So, but I mean, I would be skeptical. That's what I mean. Who says they're going to put you to sleep, right? They say, come on inside this mattress shop. You know, we just want to get you settled in here. You say, no, thanks. I got it covered on the internet. So, what was my point? The show's like not, doesn't have a lot of points. But if you're new, structurally, what to expect? Show starts off with a few minutes of business. You already heard that. That's more for the regular listeners. That's how we keep the podcast free for everybody. Then there's an intro, which is kind of a long, to some people, it feels like a long, drawn out, pointless description of the podcast. And that's exactly kind of what it is. You caught me. Maybe then that would be how maybe the shopkeeper would, I guess if they gave me space to wander in there, like eventually I would, they could earn my trust and rapport. You just say, hey, don't, with the pressure to come in your store. I mean, I realize, they said, well, I was just trying to be friendly. And I'd say, right. I'm not like my friend, I don't get friends for friendship. I don't know. I live in a paradoxical world. I don't know. I don't even understand it. You're not going to win any friends by being nice to me, or, you know, the other way around either. It's just, hopefully I would have an imaginary Nana with me who would say, oh, don't pay him any mind. He doesn't. And I say, right, Nana, maybe it harkens back to you. Nana, did you ever run a shop before? Oh, get back to the new listeners. Oh, you're right, Nana. I should get back to the new listeners. That's my Nana. She lives in my mind always at every moment. He's over exaggerating. I say, yep, you're right, Nana. Over exaggerating again. So the intro is a long intro. It's just like kind of, I try to make a metaphor of what the podcast is, and I never succeed. And in doing so, hopefully I put you to sleep. So some listeners, for the intro, some listeners fall asleep, some listeners skip the intro, but for the majority of listeners, it's kind of part of their wind-down routine. Like, almost like watching someone else play a game that's relaxing. I don't know what that would be. And plus, I've piled too many metaphors on already. I say, yeah, Nana, you got whatever other metaphor I was making that I forgot about, and now I'm thinking of someone just using a yo-yo. I don't know. I've never watched someone use a yo-yo before because it's kind of rare. And I mean, going off course, but the quality of yo-yos, the majority of yo-yos distributed are not the great. They're usually giveaways, right, at a birthday party. Yeah, so there are high quality yo-yos. I think I may have owned one. Now I'm not a yo-yo. Now I'm thinking of Yo-Yo Ma. So this is like a little bit of a meta view. This is really what my mind just kind of naturally does. But I was going to say, the most famous company, I think, is Dunkin' that makes the good yo-yos. Also, there was a funny Simpsons episode about yo-yos. Also, now I think I've got, I'm stuck in a slippery part of my brain that just likes me saying yo-yo over and over again. But if there was another world where a lot of people use yo-yos and they were skilled at it, or, you know, you don't have to be great, just moderately good at flicking it down. Oh, what's a yo-yo? Sorry, it's like this thing. You could look it up. I'm sure someone's got a great YouTube channel where they do yo-yo. And as a matter of fact, if you want to do a crossover episode, that would be relaxing just to see. Just a relaxing, but I was saying, some listeners, the intro's like that for them, just watching a yo-yo go up and down, and that's a pretty clear metaphor for spinning its wheels, too, and walking the dog. I think I did all those things in this intro, round the world. Oh boy, did I go round, meandering around my world. And so that's the intro. Then there'll be a bedtime story. There's some business between the intro and the episode. Then there's a bedtime story. The intro is kind of like a bedtime story. It's kind of like a stealth one. Or it's a bedtime story, wind up and cool down. But then we'll have a bedtime story. It'll be trending Tuesday style. I don't know what it's going to be yet. And then at the end of the show, we have thank yous and good nights. So it's the structure of the show. Clearly, I think if you've been listening, you probably figured out you don't really need to listen to this podcast. You don't have to really pay attention to it. Much like that yo-yo image, especially one that, I don't know if those have ball bearings in them, the good ones, or if that's the company that makes them. I'm trying to think when in my life. I think I've had two good yo-yos, but I don't remember them. I mean, I in the 80s, there was like a yo-yo comeback, like, and I think that's what the Simpsons episode was about. But there was a butterfly yo-yo. I think I had one of those. And then later in life, there was this a series of books called the Klutz books. And I'm not going to say they named them after me, but like I should have been getting paid for that. And I don't think I had a Klutz yo-yo, but I think I had the one of How to Tie Your Shoes. I don't know if that was actually a book or they just said, let's send this to Scoots and see if it's marketable. And then I was at the book, like it was actually at a bookstore, and I said, I can't, you know, my legs, I can't get my leg off this pole. I followed your Tie the Shoe book. And they say, well, you weren't supposed to lace the book to your shoes, sir. And I say, well, it's about, I said, really? It's interesting because there's shoelaces in this book. There's shoelaces in my shoes. Now they're one. I guess I wasn't a beta tester for that book. I just was looking in the bookstore until I was on one, you know, my shoe was on one side of the pole, book was on the other, shoelaces in books tween. And I say, you can't do this on Amazon. Holy cow. It actually felt good. It really felt like it stretched my foot out. Anyway, I don't even know what I was trying to explain. Oh, I think I was talking about yo-yos. And just trying to remember. But at some point in my life, I had another quality yo-yo. Very briefly. I mean, here's maybe this could be the episode tonight. I don't think so, though. But I'm sure there's a lot of forgotten yo-yos out there. Maybe that could be, I mean, I don't, I guess you like, yeah, I mean, maybe there could be a song about the forgotten yo-yos. I've just overused the word already tonight, so I can't make an episode about it. But so anyway, maybe message them, glad you're here. But this podcast is goofy. You don't need to listen to it. There's also no pressure to fall asleep. I'm here for about an hour to keep you company as you drift off at your leisure. You know, I make this show because I believe you deserve a good night's sleep, and I want you to get it. Now, this doesn't work for everybody. Give it a few tries and see if it helps you. But really, like, that's what I'm here to help. I'm here to keep you company as you drift off. I strive and I work very hard because I want to help you fall asleep. Thanks again for coming by. And here's a couple of ways we keep the show going. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. All right, everybody. So tonight's a story it's like a little bit of an exploratory story. And as I was saying, which story did I remember that I was going to tell tonight? And it comes from an intro that came up at some point. And I realized, like, these characters really haven't come up in a while, like so long ago that I barely remember them. There was a creators of the world famous Purple People Circus. Whose names escape me, the founders, they were, it was two people. And as far as I know, like, they founded this great circus. You probably, it's not, you know, it doesn't have as much HYPE as some of the other circuses. And so you say, I've never heard of the Purple People Circus. And you say, well, one day you may, if you just happen to be at the right place at the right time in the right town square. And I think the last time we encountered it was when they discovered the great Phil Fushigi, who was one of their newest members, and that was a famous tale. And I think it was I think when they first met, the founders met via what's it called? Not a mannequin's dummy, a ventriloquist dummy. And they fell in love and formed the Purple People Circus together. Great story. I don't know what episode it was or where it is, but somewhere in my brain is a recall of it. And the reason was because they said, oh, wait a second. In the intro, I thought there was this other character they had added they travel the world performing. And then they check out the buskers, the street performers, the underground theaters of the world, looking for the next thing and trying to think. I knew about this even as a kid when I was a kid. And I said, one day I'd like to be in if there's a circus called the Purple People Circus, I'd like to be a part of it. Because it sounds very dreamy, purple. I said, would it be a purple top instead of a big top? And they said, no, be a big purple top. Yeah, it would be. But this is a tale of a boy that joined the circus. A boy in both a dilemma and in search of something. A tale of a boy in his wagon. And his cat was named the Corrugator of all things. And this boy, he's a young man at the point where we catch him in the story, traveling the world with a little a red wagon, a wobbly, wiggity wagon, and with his cat in there. And dancing. He was a break dancer, this young lad, whose name I will one day learn. For one day, he went to a town square, and no one was there. He had traveled to the city, and it was one of the great cities somewhere in Eastern Europe. And he actually was fluent in the language, and he traveled to the city center, one of the great squares of the city, expecting to perform, but the square was empty. And it was, it was one of those seasons where it wasn't a lot of tourists, but this square was presumably would have had people in it. And so he checked his watch, checked it twice, had a chuckle thinking about Santa Claus checking a list, and realized, wait a second, it's prime milling about a square time. It was Saturday at 2 p.m. And the day was nice. It wasn't too warm. It wasn't too cold. It was seasonably temperate. And so the boy said, Corrugator, this is interesting. Where is everybody? And then the boy got out his cardboard that he used to do his break dancing. And then he got out his boombox. And then he stretched. He would go through a routine of stretching. And he said, okay, well, where is everybody? Getting limbered up, getting ready for an audience, doing some basic breaking moves. But more so getting prepared for what was to come. And still there's no one. Even the pigeon population was low. Three pigeons flew by. And then the boy started to wonder, this is something strange here. Maybe I need to look about. And the boy kind of started to quiet the mind to see, can I hear anything? Can I sense anything? And the boy thought he heard some, murmuring, a crowd murmuring somewhere. And maybe, I'm not familiar with this town. Maybe I picked the wrong square. Even though this is the one that has the nice statues and it had benches, it had cafes, and the boy said, oh, wait a second, even the cafes are closed. Maybe it's a holiday or something. And the boy headed towards the murmuring. And as the boy headed towards the murmuring, went into like a part of the town where you'd say, okay, this is the old town, right? This is not the new town. This is the older section of the town. Or that's what the tourists would say. Oh, you're going to old town or new town? And so streets got to be winding. And the murmuring got a little more coalesced, I guess you'd say. And the boy kept going towards the murmuring and then stopped in the middle of the street, cobblestone street, as a matter of fact. And the boy realized the murmuring was nearby, but he couldn't tell if it was like to the left or the right. And then the boy realized, wait a second, the murmuring's coming from below my feet. It's a murmuring of people. And like a calm murmuring, like kind of like the sound when people are waiting around for something to start. And he thought that was interesting. So then he looked around, and then he went down the side of this one building and realized that there was a courtyard and a set of stairs leading down on the side of the courtyard. And so the boy headed down the stairs. Again, it was a warm, calming murmuring. Nothing. The boy was like, okay, I'm going for it. It totally sounds like a great, like whatever they're murmuring about, it's like a murmur of chill anticipation. And then the boy realized, well, I better bring my wagon just in case, because I don't, and of course, a corrugator. And then the boy realized, oh, wait a second. So then the boy ran all the way back to the town square. He got the corrugated cardboard, the boombox, and the cat named the corrugator. And said, good job, corrugator, keeping an eye on everything. Sorry, I just was, checking out that murmuring. And the corrugator, the cat, stretched and put its head down on the corrugated cardboard. And also because this kid is sharp, has a sweatshirt. So corrugator the cat curled up in the sweatshirt and went to sleep. Now, meanwhile, the boy in his wiggity wiggity wagon, if you ever seen like a wobbly wiggity wagon on a cobblestone street, it's almost like where one vibration vibrates another way. Like it was almost like they're made for one another. So instead of wobbling, the wagon went along almost like the anticipation, the wobbles and the cobbles fit together. And the boy said, that's interesting. And I think the corrugator, the cat, said, huh, this is weird. Like usually this wagon's a lot more wobbly. So the corrugator wasn't actually asleep, even though if you looked at the corrugator, you'd say, certainly looks like that cat's asleep. I could tell you that the corrugator was, taking everything in, as cats are known to do, because they're so wise, because they love sleep podcasters so much, who appreciate their wisdom. That's why, of course, every cat knows that, and how wise they are. Even when they're being pandered to, they appreciate it. And the corrugator then, as they wobbled down the cobbles, the corrugator put its head up and said, because the corrugator had noticed the murmuring as well. And this young person, this young man, we'll call Zeke for now. Zeke swept up the wiggity wagon with I put it on it, the wagon on his hip, and headed down the stairs towards the murmuring. And I got to the bottom of the stairs, and there was a gate there. And the boy opened the gate and, led into a beautiful part of the old city. And what the boy didn't realize was, as soon as the boy went through the gate into these, vaulted underground, that there was candlelight, And it just happened to be like a special night in this town. So, oh, this is why everybody in the town is down in the underground. And, you know, it was there was a little bit of natural light filtering in, but then there was candles. There was also the old, you know, the LED candles. And everything gave it this warm element, you know, the those vaulted brick ceilings you see. Really like something that would be romanticized if Zeke wasn't really there in person. And, oh boy, did the corrugator like this because... It was just warm, you know, it didn't seem like, it was a cat's, like, not to say it was a cat's pajamas, but they're not a lot of, like, subterranean, sub-city levels that cat, I mean, I'm just telling you from experience, now you might say, well, an Effie, like, Zeke was a, like, a busker cat, or not Zeke, the corrugator. And Zeke did call the corrugator Korg, or Korg. Yeah, I don't know how to spell it, corrugator. So I think that's what he would say. Or like, cause for a while, did call it Corgi, but that was too confusing for people that had that kind of dog. They said that's a cat. Then Zeke started calling the corrugator Korg, and then Zeke started to follow again the murmuring. And quickly saw, like I said, the crowd was gathered there, and they were murmuring in anticipation. People were kind of talking, and because of, they think, like, the ceilings were vaulted, but they weren't super high, and because of the low light, no one was, like, everyone had a modulated tone. So, you know, that's how the, like, that's what the murmuring was like, cinemas and... you know, at a distance, you say, that's some good murmuring. Got to get that on a loop to sleep to. And indistinct murmuring is still at a distance. Plus, sometimes it's hard to hear stuff because the wiggity-wiggity wagon that wobbles can make a lot of racket. And it's just strange that a cat, you know, Korg could just sleep through all that racket. And despite how calm everything was, there was something that struck Zeke and Korg even as strange, that everybody was still just milling around. And people had looked over at the two of them, and then Zeke kind of found a nice little alcove to park the wagon and the corrugator in, made a little... took a jacket and or a sweatshirt and made it into more of a nest. And then the corrugator did some impressive stretching and walking around the wagon just to establish, like, a cat-like dominance in case anyone was watching. You know, with the confidence, let's see, that cool confidence cats have. Because, you know, cats, they're... you know, they're cool and they're confident. They're cats. You know, even when people are allergic to cats, they can appreciate how, like, that situation, they can establish a subtle, with just their body movements and the way they move their bodies. I realize that sometimes I say, repeat myself to cats, I know, that they, you know, they can set the tone, say, this is my wagon. In my friend's wagon. It might be a wiggity-wobbly wagon, but it's ours, and I'm going to be resting in here. I just demonstrated my limberness, and now I'm going to go into such a deep sleep because I'm so confident I've made that clear. So, you know, stay out of the wagon zone. I know you will. And so that was impressive. But to Zeke was still like, what's going on? And then finally, Zeke went up to a woman and said, what's going on here? You know, nobody's around. And they said, oh, we're waiting to be entertained. And Zeke said, huh, that's interesting. What time's the show start? And the person kind of didn't seem to hear them. And Zeke said, well, something's amiss here. Wherever we are, whatever town we're in, something seems to be, I don't know if it's amiss or remiss. I think Zeke said to Zeke's self, it'd be remiss if I didn't do something or get to the bottom of this. Plus, like, from a common sense perspective, from a busker's perspective, travel to this city or town, you know, hoping to, you know, make to make enough money to travel on. So these could be my customers. You know, also presuming everybody in town's in here, the trains probably aren't traveling on time. And so make the most of it, I guess, would be the summary of what went through Zeke's mind. And what Zeke did is just to sit down, actually, on the wagon, back down on the wagon, next to the corrugator, up against this wall, boombox in Zeke's lap. Boombox, you're right, thanks, kids. It's a big thing with two speakers to play music, usually via the radio or a cassette tape player. Yeah, though boomboxes do also have, like, aux in and stuff. Zeke sat there, and it felt like just something about maybe the travel, the candlelight, the relaxedness of the corrugator, the comfort of the wagon, leaning up against ancient bricks below the town. And again, all that murmuring. Zeke kind of dozed off for a while. But then what was even, less wild, what could get less wild than that is that, like, Zeke woke up later and everything was still the same. People were still milling about and still murmuring, and nothing had happened. But again, everything seemed so relaxed, too. So, because Zeke still thought about different TV shows where stuff like this happened, and Zeke said, well, none of that seemed as relaxed as this. So relaxed, the corrugator's still asleep, and I'm still asleep. Then Zeke said, well, let's just check in here. And so Zeke went up to another person and said, hey, what are you waiting for? What? And they said, we're waiting to be entertained. And Zeke said, okay, how am I going to get to the bottom of this? I think I need to entertain. And then Zeke said, and maybe use my entertainment to uncover what's happening here in town. And so Zeke went back to the wagon and kind of picked up the corrugated cardboard. And the corrugator looked up at Zeke and then went back to sleep, or so we're led to suppose. You know, because sometimes we can't tell with you cats. Like, you really do have, I know they talk about 9 lives, but I, you know, what I appreciate is your 6th and 7th senses, and the fact that you readily accept apologies from people that say, well, you know, it could be, I could have been nicer to cats, and I have been pretty nice. There was one time I was nice when that cat sneezed in my mouth. Remember that? That was my sister's cat, sat on my chest, sneezed in my mouth. So Zeke looked around this vaulted area and tried to find a place like it that seemed like center stage. And actually, there was this, like, raised alcove with a high ceiling, like kind of like a, I don't know, like a, just a perfect spot to get everybody's attention. And Zeke did that in a, like, very, like, subtle way, like put a cardboard down, walk all the way back across the rooms to the wagon, went and got the boombox. And again, everybody was murmuring, but now they're murmuring like, oh boy, stage is getting set up here. And then Zeke got candles, and just like it was an old theater, put the candles at the front of the stage. At some point, the corrugator hopped down and walked across the rooms and then hopped to the backstage left, curled up in the corner. And then Zeke started stretching a bit in front of the stage, not on the cardboard. and doing some pacing and getting ready, but at the same time, like, watching the room, saying, huh, again, it was just waiting to be entertained. I don't get it. And Zeke, now Zeke had studied a lot since he was a lad or a young boy to being a young man. Had, you know, worked and talked to other buskers and studied buskers and all of those things. And Zeke had learned a lot from mimes and musicians and, you know, pantomime, you know, people that do pantomime. I don't know if that's different than mimes, but so many things. So Zeke kind of was doing some miming, like making sure everything was right to kind of build up anticipation and getting ready. And then Zeke got up on stage, like Zeke was going to do something, but then Zeke put his fingers to his lips and said, huh, and then got back down. And then, you know, when that happened, everybody turned and was facing the stage and starting to gather closer in. And then Zeke said, checking everything. It hopped on stage and said, okay, everybody, I hope you're ready to be entertained. And tonight's entertainment, because now it's night, you know, it had been the middle of Saturday afternoon, now it's Saturday night. Zeke said, tonight's entertainment will consist of one of two performances. I'm trying to decide which one to perform, because we only can do one. And then people said, and Zeke said, I could either do The Skeptic's Dilemma or The Boy That Found His Hips. And everyone looked at each other quizzically, because neither of those titles was immediately grasping. But the idea that they would only get one was also, made it even more of a thought moment. And somebody said, you know, did he say Skemdic's Dilemma? Demdic's Salama? They said, no, Skeptic's Dilemma. Oh, what was the other one again? A Boy in His Hips, I think. Remember that? Zeke said, okay, I'll find a way to deliver both. And then there was a smattering of applause as Zeke prepared to perform and, you know, did the whole thing of, stretching again and cracking knuckles or just stretching the fingers. And then Zeke said, okay, well, what kind of music should we play here? And I don't know, again, I don't know the mechanics of this boombox. So I don't know if it was mixtapes or it was actually a digital boombox that looked like a mechanical one. But Zeke hit a button and it just laid down like a nice, downbeat or whatever. Just a nice, loop to set the tone. And Zeke said, well, just once, tonight I'm going to tell you a story in dance. It's about a boy that never believed in hips before. And people even, you know, shouted at the ridiculousness of a boy that didn't believe in hips. Zeke said, okay. Zeke started doing a little bit of walk dancing. And I don't think, I guess I should probably not try to capture what Zeke was actually doing, but with what the story Zeke was conveying, since I'm not a dancer per se, it's tough for me to quantify the moves. But we'll just say they were so transcendent that the dance became enveloped in story in a way that even the audience, I don't know if they were aware that Zeke was even dancing, to be honest with you, or they were so swept up at the moment. But Zeke was moving. Zeke was dancing. You could say at moments that Zeke was grooving. But Zeke told the tale, started out and said, well, long ago, there was a boy. And the boy, grew up learning to question everything. And questioning, you know, why is this or why is that? And as the boy even grew more, and they said, who would teach a boy this? And I said, it was the teaching of the kingdom. It was a kingdom of skeptopia, that was called. And this was a new show. You know, Zeke was trying to make it I mean, I'll just give you like a meta moment. Zeke was really trying to get to the bottom of what was happening here in this moment. But Zeke said, oh, yeah, he was raised in skeptopia. And to question everything and to counter everything. So if someone said something, sometimes you should just take a counter position. You know, the whole skeptical thing. This was all done through dance, too. And showing the queen of skeptopia, you know, the patriarch, you know, the post-patriarch moments of skeptopia, the whole history, everything. And all coming back to this boy, like, learning about it being a resident of skeptopia. But there was one thing Zeke said that was different about this boy. And then Zeke said, one day, you know, because he couldn't just, like, live in a isolated city-state, the boy had to travel with his aunt who owned, a fabric business, bolts of fabric. And she was a merchant, a fabric merchant. And the boy said, I went to this town, and, you know, we were supposed to, you know, like our trips to other places, we're supposed to reinforce our skepticism. And so my aunt constantly told me to be, you know, all the reasons to reinforce my skepticism. But the boy said one time when I was sitting in the wagon, waiting for her to complete a purchase, across the town square, I saw a dancer dancing and moving. And Zeke started doing these wild moves, full body, like waves and gyrations, and also a dance of Zeke being enthralled with the dancing. Maybe even, you know, some, whatever you call that, when it's you're flowering inside too. And you say, whoa, this dance is making me feel something. And it was like a dance that involved a lot of, and then there was a dance partner. And I don't know, bachata, I don't dance that, but, or lumbata was originally but it was a very when the two partners, it was a whole story. Zeke was just trying to piece it together. And Zeke said, and then we headed back to Skeptopia. And Zeke found that was trying to recreate all these moves. And then Zeke was got discovered the next day dancing with a broom. And attempting some of these dance moves, and it became a bit of a to-do around town because everybody was always keeping an eye on everybody else because everybody was so skeptical because they said, well, it's be skeptical, stay skeptical. And they said, well, Zeke, what are you doing? And Zeke said, dancing. No, they had dance there. It was just not super interesting, you know, it was just the dances about, you know, it fit the theme of that era. And that kind of was too much of a think piece, too, for the audience. So Zeke did a dance for that. And whatever they said, you can't dance like that. And at first, it became this theme for the stage in Zeke's life. I don't know, I'm getting my characters, it was so transcendent, Zeke's performance, which of this character's life, and that it was a struggle against the parents and the society, because Zeke wanted to do a non-skeptical dance, like dance about feelings, dances about unknown inquiries and curiosity and curious urge, you know, and all those things, not just one of those things. And so the count, you know, everybody met because this was just like in these type of stories, like the adults said, what are we going to do about this? Because other kids are going to learn about it. And they said they called the town elders and they said, okay, what are we going to do? We got to get they said, well, maybe Zeke could go. We could send Zeke on a or Zeke or the boy on a journey. And I guess this was maybe it was Zeke's story, but it was just that, you know, the things were so close together. And so they said, no, we can't, we got to do something. And then they said, what about, and then someone said, we're facing the skeptic's dilemma. And someone said, what is it? And they said, only the keepers of skepticism, the greatest secrets of skepticism can know what the skeptic's dilemma is. And then they huddled these village elders and said, what are we going to do about this kid and the dancing? And one wise in this situation, I mean, not wisdom for good, said, I notice he doesn't move his hips very much yet, probably because of all these ideas we planted in his head. So if we could bring him in and make him forget about his hips, he'll never fully flourish as a dancer. Then we could send him out in the world with no hip, you know, with no knowledge of his hips. Because we'll use the great, you know, techniques, we'll convince him he has no hips, and send him out in the world as a dancer then, and he'll return to us even more skeptical than before. And some people were really starting to get into this, because it wasn't like Zeke was sitting there telling a meandering story. Zeke was dancing. A corrugator was watching Zeke and moving around sometimes, and once took a bath, a cat bath. So everybody was entertained by this. And then Zeke said, okay, I got to take a water break here. We'll take five and we'll get back to the dancing. But everybody stay close to the stage because I want to get it, you know, this is a part of the show. And so some people went off, but for the most part, people stayed around and said, wow, we should it's interesting. And Zeke says, so is everybody finding themselves entertained? And they were saying, yeah. And Zeke said, geez, if I was a skeptic, like the kid in the story, I'd wonder what everybody was doing down here, just waiting to be entertained instead of up in the, I mean, this is beautiful down here, don't get me wrong. And being entertained down here seems mighty nice. But got that town square there and probably people Zeke said, is this like a scheduled thing? And the people said, we don't know. We just know we're all down here waiting to be entertained. And Zeke said, interesting. Okay. And again, there's something that Zeke couldn't shake, but that was slowly cracking itself like an egg inside of Zeke, or peeling itself like a self-peeling onion, layer after layer, peeled by the subconscious of, whatever. So Zeke hopped back on stage and returned to the dance, but soon realized that something greater was happening. You know, the reason the storyteller was so confused sometimes was because not only were the kids, it was so interesting watching and just wondering if any cats were listening, if they, you know, the podcast was also meow. They knew that they were just as important tonight for tonight's episode. We're always, of course, the greatest, plain and simple. But Zeke had realized, and Zeke had saw something in the eyes of the corrugator, because the corrugator was clearly a cat with wisdom, maybe more, we don't know. But Zeke said, I'm going to get back to my dance, and Zeke kind of showed through the next round of the story how the boy started to go out in the world and dance without his hips, without a knowledge of his hips, and how that wasn't easy. That added this extra, oh boy, I mean, talk about not easy, not just with dancing, with walking, and with, you know, finding, you know, whatever, I think it was a chakra down there, also is related to the hips. So, you know, it was a life that this dancing boy doth led, until one day this boy, and as he kind of showed this, met this cat, a cat named, without a name at the time. And the cat was watching a set of dancers in a town that Zeke had only planned on being in for a little while, or the boy. And these were break dancers. It was a B-girls and a B-boy breaking it up. I mean, breaking it down. And Zeke just watched mesmerized next to this cat. And, you know, like, then again, Zeke went back to where he was crashing, and the cat followed him. And Zeke was like, well, there's a lot of moves because of, now Zeke had overcome a lot by learning to dance without the hips and becoming a dancing busker. Again, a story for another time. Mostly like, would, like a lot of Zeke's early work, or this boy's work was a mechanical soldier, you know, tin person, robot, wooden puppet, Pinocchio style, like hipless dancing. But Zeke was so mesmerized by some of these, and maybe it was because it was like B-boys and B-girls, like that there was this other element of drawing Zeke in. But then, you know, this was like where Zeke felt a little bit down. And then Zeke said, wait a second. My hips, I don't know how, like, and then the what they had taught him, what they tried to ingrain in Zeke, this boy, the kid, the dancer. This is all again on stage happening, it was a realization. No, they don't want me to know my hips. So I'm going to work harder to discover my hips. And Zeke started actually studying the movement of the cat, like of corrugator, and of other people walking, other people dancing, just watching their hips at a distance. And slowly, this is over, again, and this happened on the stage. And again, this audience didn't care because they were, they were in it, like whether this is a 12-hour performance or not, of Zeke slowly learning to move and shake, twist, move your hips at all as a part of a dance. And so that was demonstrated. And then it triggered a release, a joy, a fullness, a complete dancing, where now break dancing, all the dances, even elements of bachata, were all unlocked for Zeke. And also a friendship was formed with the corrugator. But also something else, now that this boy knew his hips and then eventually found a wiggity wiggity wagon, there was also something that by freeing Zeke's hips, or the boy's hips, Zeke said to the audience, and then I found myself here in this town square, not far away. And at first, I just thought this is where the town square is, not far from the old town and the new town. This is where the people would be gathered to watch a busker. Why was it so easy for me to find it? Why was it so natural for me to just go there? You know, why did my hips lead me here? And everyone didn't know, except for Zeke and the corrugator, why. And then I thought about that term, the skeptic's dilemma. For me, It was the dilemma. You could be you could be skeptical, but you can't be fully skeptical and know your hips in order to unlock them. You know, those, you know, to move. You have to at least set some of that skepticism aside. But the dilemma is that sometimes you end up, and then it's just slow dawning. Zeke didn't have to say it. People started to get, they started to say, what are we doing? How long have we been down here? Like we've just been down here waiting to be entertained. Aren't we supposed to be doing other stuff? And people started to remember, oh, well, I said, well, I'm not sure about the weather. Well, you know, we could go around down below the city and just wait to be entertained. Well, I'm not sure about all those visitors. Well, we could shut down the train system and then go down below, you know. And then Zeke started to realize that they could all perform together. And Zeke started to teach them this dance called the Skeptic's Dilemma, which is, you know, hip-based dance where your hips are like some hip thrusting and some hip tilting to shake yourself free from the full skepticism. You know, it's okay to have a healthy skepticism, this dance would indicate. And eventually Zeke realized, you know, that this was a town, this is where I grew up. I'd almost forgotten about it. Now I, you know, I've like discovered a new level of it. And everybody like said, oh yeah, you were the kid that liked dancing that we tried to get and they said, the town elders are the ones that told us to go down here. And eventually what Zeke realized is, maybe I should just move on because, you know, then they said, well, we like your idea of, freeing everyone from the skeptic's dilemma. And Zeke said, you know what, I'm just going to, hop on the next train now that you've started the trains again, at least. And maybe one day I'll make my way back here with another dance, slightly less skeptical dilemma. And that was like when Zeke went to the next town after that, realized that two other people had wandered in that town, the founders of the Purple People's Circus. And then they caught Zeke's show, which had a new level of passion and presentness and connection with the audience and more stories because it was real and authentic. And Zeke knew, I have to use my hips, I have to use my dance, my breakdancing and more to pull these, make sure these people don't end up in the skeptic's dilemma, even though it's not totally clearly defined exactly what it is. I can, help them with my performing and, the people from the Purple People Circus said, we'd love for you to join us. That's kind of what we do, too. We're trying to get joy and surprise and fun and entertainment. And Zeke's joined them. And that's kind of like, another, when they're coming to a town near you one day, maybe. So that's it. That's the tale of a boy and his wiggity-wiggity wagon, his cat named the Corrugator. How he found his, rediscovered his hips and overcame the skeptic's dilemma. Good night. I want to say thanks, and good night to Marsha, Laura, and Ollie. Thank you, thanks, and good night to Lenora, Alex, and John. Thank you, thanks, and good night to Teresa, MJ, and Liz. Thank you, thanks, and good night to Chandler, Molly, and Kit. Thank you, thanks, and good night to Kevin, Nicole, and Emily. Thanks, and good night to Noor, Cassie, and Kelly. Thanks, and good night to Angela, Raybot, and Chad. Thanks, and good night to Barbara, Jaden, and Beth. Thanks, and good night to Stephanie, Matthew, and Alice. Thanks, and good night to Molly, Mary, and Stephen. Thanks, and good night to Lexi, Janice, and Julie. Thanks, and good night to Melissa, CL, and Tanya. Thank you, thanks, and good night to Patricia, Shane, and Kit. Thanks, thanks, and good night to Peter, Sharon, and Julie. Thank you, thanks, and good night to Carolyn, Barbara, and Christopher. Thanks, thanks, and good night to Elizabeth, Bishu, and Chris. Thanks, thanks, and good night to Madeline, Amberly, and Tim. Thanks, thanks, and good night to Karen, John, and Rachel. Thanks, thanks, and good night to Kieran, Allie, and Samantha. Thank you, thanks, and good night to Isabella, Claire, and Erica. Thank you, thanks, and good night to Gwen, Marlon, and Bill. Thank you, thanks, and good night to Aaron, Robin, and Blair. Thanks, thanks, and good night to Wilfred, Katie, and Craig. Thanks, thanks, and good night to Frucht, Brian, and Sarah. Thank you, thanks, and good night to Miko, Elizabeth, and George. Thank you, thanks, and good night to Matthew, Byron, and Kayla. Thank you, thanks, and good night to David, Shell, and Sophia. And thanks, thanks, and good night to Carrie and Carly. Yeah, thanks you. Thanks everybody who supports the show. So Sleeping With Me literally exists and stays free from direct listener support on Patreon and through our sponsors. So thanks everybody who helps keep the show going. We grow by people spreading the word in their community online and in person. So I really appreciate everybody doing that. And, you know, it helps get me, you know, people are really nice to me and, you know, most of the listeners are. So thank you for helping keep me going, too. Another way I keep going is the support of my network at Night Vale Presents. One of the amazing shows on there, one of the shows I fell in love with and re-fell in love with podcasting through was Within the Wires. Just do yourself a favor. Strap on your headphones and tune in to Within the Wires. And you'll really, like, whether you listen to season one first, to season two first, or season three first. And just trust me, you can find it in your podcast app or at nightvalepresents.com. We're also a member of PRX. You can see everything they're doing at prx.org. And that's it. I got plenty of other episodes ready to go if you need them. Good night. All right, everybody, this is Scoots. I'm talking about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. You could take that Helix Sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. I'm just about to hit my 4-year anniversary sleeping in my Helix Dusk Lux. And I took that Helix quiz. You know, I sleep on my side. I sleep on my stomach. I toss. I turn. I don't want to overheat at night. And when I took the quiz, that was the mattress it matched me with. The Helix Dusk, I chose the Helix Dusk Lux. Because Helix has like 20 unique mattresses. They've got an award-winning Lux collection, the Helix Elite collection, which is new, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And the way you'll know the Helix mattress works best for you and your body is to take that Helix sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. You'll find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress will be shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping in it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. There's models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, there's enhanced cooling features for people like me, keep us from overheating at night. If your spine needs that extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining comfort and support. I took the Helix sleep quiz. Like I said, I got matched with the Helix Dusk. I wanted something with the right firmness that I could sleep on my stomach, my side, even my back. And they kept me from overheating. And it fits the bill. And not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, the setup was fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. Plus, all Helix mattresses come with a 10 to 15-year warranty, depending on the model. And if you don't want to take my word for it, Helix has been awarded the number one mattress pick by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors. The sleep medicine is a go-to solution for improving your sleep. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. That's HELIXPARTNER20, one word. This is the best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.